Please bow your heads and join me in prayer. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for the gift of another day. It can be so easy to take for granted the gifts that you have given us. Lord, we want to take this moment to lift up the firefighters battling the fires on the West Coast. I pray for their safety as they continue to be on the front lines day and night trying to contain the fires. Lord, I pray for the much-needed peace for the families who have already been evacuated from their homes. Waiting for potentially heartbreaking news can be extremely draining, and we ask that you just give them assurance and peace in you. Additionally, we ask you to keep a hand over Hume Lake, keep it safe and untouched by the fires. Next, I want to lift up all the students. I pray that they would be able to adjust back to their school schedules, give them rest and calm hearts as they enter this time. I especially want to lift up all the new college freshmen who are leaving home for the first time. I pray that they would be filled with excitement in their time of change and that you would calm any nerves they might have. And speaking of nerves, please calm Sean's as he comes up for today's sermon. Thank you for everyone here, Lord, and I pray that we would have open ears and open hearts to hear what is said today. Amen. Well, good morning. You may be seated. My name is Ryan Petulis. For those of you that don't know me, I've grown up here at PVC for the past 20 years of my life. I call it home, and I love it, and I love you all. Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 9. As for the riches in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of what is truly life.
Thank you, band. Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we get to continue our studies in our summer series. We're calling the series Foundation Stones. And today we get to talk about stewardship and giving, which can be a tough topic, which is why Ryan prayed for me in the prayer. And I'm not sure how one of the younger guys got this topic, but here I am. But a few introductory comments before we get into this. One is, we did not choose this topic because of any financial status here at the church. This was chosen because this is important to talk about. This is important for any healthy church to talk about, any healthy disciple. This needs to get talked about. So that's why this was chosen. But having said that, the elders would like to have me share their gratitude for your generosity since April, since our announcement in April. You've been very generous. And so they just wanted to have me share that to you. So let's get into this. I'm calling today's talk, Living with a Generous Heart. What does it look like to live with a generous heart? That's what we're going to talk about today. And to start with, I want to just tell a parable of Jesus, taking a little bit of liberty to tell it, but it's the parable of the day laborer. In the Roman era, the Romans would come in and they would take over all the land. And what that means is that men didn't have their job anymore. They were the farmers, and no longer are they farming because they have no more land. So many of the men become day laborers. And as you know, as a day laborer, if you don't work, you don't eat. So this particular man, he has a family, and after a few days of not working, this man's 10-year-old daughter comes up to him and says, "Daddy, I'm hungry." Now, if you're a dad in this room, you understand. That'll crush you in a second. Because the one thing we can do as guys is provide. That's the one thing we can. We can't give birth, but we can provide, right? And so when your daughter looks up at you and looks you in the eye and says, "I'm hungry," and you can't do anything about it, that'll destroy you. So the next morning, he's up early and he's down to the marketplace waiting for a job. And that day, he waits all day and he waits and he waits and he waits and he waits. And as despair once again settles into his heart, with an hour left in the day, an elderly gentleman comes by and says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Well, no one's asked me to work today." So he says, "Why don't you just come work in my field?" And the guy says, "Oh, okay, it's only an hour, but I could at least get something for my daughter." So you can imagine, he gets in the field, he's not thinking about the work, right? He's thinking about, where am I going to get paid? Where's the pay shed? And so as he's working his way over to the pay shed, right? And that bell rings and he's first in line. And the man gives him the money. He doesn't even look at the money. He just puts it in his hand and he takes off because he has to get to the bakery before it closes, right? And so he sprints. And as he's sprinting to the bakery, he rounds the last corner and he realizes, "I'm going to make it in time. It's open." And he finally looks down in his hand and what's he see? A full day's pay. A full day's pay. And why? Because this isn't a parable about the day laborer. This is a parable about the generous employer. But it's actually not a parable about the generous employer. It's a parable about our God. Our God is a good God and only gives good gifts to his children. This is what our God is like. I think any talk on stewardship and giving has to begin here. It has to begin with this foundational truth. Our God is a good God who has blessed us abundantly out of his abundant mercy and grace. So what do we do with these blessings? What do we do with these blessings that have been so abundantly given to us? When I was at family camp a couple years ago, families were pulling up, and I'll never forget this. The Porter family pulled up. Now, many of you know the Porter family. They have three biological children and 7 adopted children. And, well, at least this is from last week. I don't know if they've added more. But they pulled up in 2 minivans. And I just was like struck. They drive 2 minivans. And I realized, oh, they have to, right? To get for their whole family to go anywhere, they need 2 minivans. So they pull up and I, you know, Brad and Leslie get out and I'm telling them how they're my heroes. And Leslie, I'll never forget this. Leslie looks at me and she says, matter-of-factly just says, "We've been blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing." And they're living it out. A healthy disciple of Jesus recognizes that every resource comes from the generous hand of God and is to be used generously for his kingdom priorities and purposes. God delights in seeing us steward all he has generously given us with a heart of generosity for his kingdom. Not our kingdom, his kingdom. Now, as you can see, this talk isn't just about money. This talk is about life. A lifestyle of stewardship. A lifestyle living with a generous heart. Regardless of our status, regardless of our occupation, regardless of our ethnicity, regardless of our economic means or anything else, how can I model a generous heart in all of life? That's the question. And to answer that question, I want to look at 4 resources this morning. 4 resources that we all have. Time, treasures, talents, and temple or body. Time, treasures, talents, and temple. So first of all, time. How much time do you have to bless others? If you're like most of us, I think you would probably answer that question with, I have no time. And it's hard not to think of the Good Samaritan story, right, when we think about time. A man lies half dead on the road, and a priest walks by, and he doesn't help because presumably he's too busy. And then a Levite comes by, and he doesn't help because presumably he's too busy. And then a hated Samaritan, an enemy of the half-dead man, walks by, and who knows where he's going, right? He could be going to a birthday party for his 10-year-old daughter. He could be going to a really important church meeting. He could be going to a dinner with his wife. Anniversary dinner. Who knows? Who knows where he's going, but wherever it is, he's now sacrificed it, right? He's now sacrificed it to help this half-dead man, and he's the guy's enemy. And all the while, the VeggieTales song plays in the background.
I'm busy, busy, dreadfully busy. You've no idea what I have to do. Busy, busy, shockingly busy. Much, much too busy for you.
Yes, we are busy, right? We are busy. I'm a pastor. I only work one day a week, and I am busy. I had somebody come up to me between services and say, you only work half a day a week. But, you know, I think about this, and I think, wow, I'm so busy. How in the world am I going to bless others if I'm so busy? Blessed to be a blessing, but only when I have time? What if we decluttered our calendars to make ourselves more available to serve and bless others? You know, I was a middle school pastor for 7 years, and I was amazed at how busy our middle schoolers are. Now my kids are getting there, and I understand. But the other observation I had was this. For my 7 years, and maybe I was doing something wrong, but for my 7 years, the least attended events we did were our service projects. We did two or three a year, and the least attended of all the activities we did were our service projects. And it just made me wonder, do we understand this principle? Blessed to be a blessing. In the spring, we did a service Sunday. Many of you participated. It was a great day, right? It was a great day of blessing others with our time and our talents. Andy and his team did a great job of putting that together. But as Andy has said many times, the point isn't just to do this once a year. That's not the point. The point is that it would become a continuing part of life. Next week's Ministry Fair Sunday. It's a great opportunity to look around our church and see what ministries you can use your time to bless others. Now you can see I put a calendar up there, a picture of a calendar. As you reflect on this, I would encourage you, pull out your calendar and just see where your time goes. Where is your time going? Calendar is a great tool to kind of think through that. All right, treasures. Treasures. What kind of treasures do you have that you can bless others with? In the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, maybe you've read that book, a senior devil Screwtape advises his novice nephew Wormwood like this. He says, prosperity knits a man to the world. He feels like he is finding his place in it, while really it is finding its place in him. And we sure are prosperous, aren't we? I go to Liberia as much as I can. because it helps me put, well, for many reasons, but one is it helps me put things into perspective. Every time I go, I'm reminded we live in Disneyland every day. Every day. And you know what? We're the odd ones. We are odd compared to the rest of the world. We're the odd ones. And it always makes me ask the question, do I own my treasures or do my treasures own me? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I would love to take all morning and just work through this passage, but we don't have time. I'm just going to pull out a few things here and there, what he says in this section of the Sermon on the Mount. But let me start with this. The truth is that we are all treasurers. We all treasure something. It's just a matter of what. Do we treasure heavenly treasures or earthly treasures? Because the key is this. Wherever our treasures are, that's where our heart is. Our heart follows our treasures. It's not the other way around. Our heart follows our treasures. Our treasures act like a magnet, and our heart is drawn to them. Now, by heart, we know that Jesus is not talking about the organ that pumps blood, right? What he's talking about is the control center of our lives, the heart. When it's used in Scripture, it's the control center of our lives. The heart is not only the seat of the emotions, it's the seat of the will. It's the place where all the data of life is collected, sorted out, processed, and weighed for making our decisions. And those decisions, those choices we make by our hearts, will follow our treasures. So do we treasure heavenly treasures or earthly treasures? Now, as Jesus continues in this section, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says that we cannot serve two masters. We can't serve two masters. And he'll say, we cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon there is money or possessions, or it actually can be anything besides God that we put our trust in. It can be a bunch of things. And notice that Jesus says you cannot. He doesn't say you should not. He doesn't say you must not. He says you cannot. He says it's impossible to serve both God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says our hearts have room only for one all-embracing devotion. Only one. So what do we do? What do we do? And I know this is hard. I'm preaching myself today, so I know this is hard. What do we do? Well, he says a few things throughout the passage, but he ends with this. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Literally, keep on seeking. Keep on seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. His kingdom priorities and purposes, not our own. One of my professors at seminary said, he didn't say this bragging, he just said this is kind of one of the checks that he does with this principle. He says every once in a while when the offering plate comes by, he just empties his wallet. He says, I usually don't have much money, and it doesn't happen very often. But he said it's a good check for him and his heart to see whether his money owns him or not. Randy Alcorn lists three treasure principles. I think they're pretty good. Number one, God owns everything. I'm his money manager. Number two, giving is the only antidote to materialism. I think that's a great statement for our culture. And number three, God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. Just another way to say, blessed to be a blessing, right? Well, you can see I put a checkbook up there. I don't even know if we carry checkbooks anymore, but checkbooks. It's a great check to see where your money's going. As one writer has said, every checkbook is a theological document. It tells you where your treasure is and therefore where your heart is. Now, each week this summer, we as a staff have tried to share PBC's perspective, the church's perspective on our topics. And so let me just share a few things about how we function as a church with regards to our treasures. It's not an exhaustive list. It's only three things. But I just wanted to share a couple of them with you. Firstly, we as a church carry no debt. That means the church is not saddled with interest payments or trying to pay down principal, which frees us up to spend money on people. Such as people that are helped through the need fund, which you so generously provide into. The deacons use that to help people. And we can do that by carrying no debt. And also the missionaries. The missionaries on the back wall, we are freed up to really help them financially. So we would encourage you to do that as well. Secondly, pastors and elders do not know what anyone gives. No records are kept except those required by law. Receipts are issued for gifts of $250 or more as required by the IRS, but only our bookkeeper sees those. So we don't know what anyone gives. Thirdly, if a shortfall develops, then it's time to do some belt tightening, trimming expenses, asking what the Lord would see or would have us cut. And so this is what we've done over the last few months. We've, as a staff and elders, we've been praying. Where can we cut? And asking the Lord where we should cut. So seeking from the Lord how he would lead us there. So that's just a few quick comments about how our church deals with our treasures here as a church. I'm told that we're pretty unique fiscally in those ways. All right, well, how about talents? Talents. What talents do you have that you can bless others with? God has generously given each one of us a unique and specific skill set. How can we model a generous heart with our skill set? Colossians 3 says this, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." So whatever you do, wherever you go, the task before you is not unimportant. Whatever it is that you are doing can be turned into an opportunity to bless others. Whenever you're using your talents, it's an opportunity to bless others. Curtis Martin was a running back for the New England Patriots years ago. Sorry for the football analogy, but we are in football season. He was famously known for this. He was a running back, and so he would take the handoff, and he would run straight up into the line, and he would get tackled by these mammoth men, right? And when you're on the bottom of a pile in football, the refs can't see. So the big guys could do anything they wanted to Curtis, you know, and so it's known that they'll kick and punch and whatever, the running back. And Curtis was famously known to get up, take the football, flip it to the ref, turn to those big guys and say, "God bless you." and then walked back to the huddle. He was trying to use, you know, trying to bless people as he was using the talents God had given him. Now, that may not be a great example, but you know, I just have to look every Sunday up on stage, right, at these great music teams that we have. Unbelievable music teams that we have here who are using their talents to bless us, right? And they spend all week preparing for a Sunday morning. They sacrifice time, lots of time, to get ready for Sunday mornings. I think about our deacons. We have unbelievable deacons here at the church who are using their talents, volunteering their talents to help people. What about you? What talents has God blessed you with that you can use to bless others? I put some stick figures up here. My young adults told me I had to diversify my eye colors. So there they are, in different eye colors. But the reason I put them up there is just because as we walk through our days, are we blessing others? As Rick Watts said a few weeks ago, are we bringing life to people as we're using our talents walking through our days? Whether that means on the baseball field coaching Little League, or whether that means on the soccer field, or whether that means as a software engineer, or whether that means as a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad. Every day, every person we bump into is an opportunity to bless others. All right, well, how about temple? Our bodies. Are we using our bodies to bless others? Paul says this, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." Glorify God with our bodies by blessing others, because they house the Holy Spirit of God. Proverbs 6 gives us a pretty obvious negative example. It says this, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers." Essentially, the whole body is being used not to bless others, but to harm and abuse others. So these actions aren't glorifying God. They're not blessing others. They're not being good stewards of the good gift of the body that we have. Now, positively, you can see I put an emoji up there. If you don't know what an emoji is, talk to a young adult. They know all about that stuff. A smiling emoji. You know, a positive and a simple positive way to honor people, or to honor God and to bless people, is just to smile. Smile abundantly. Do you do that? You smile abundantly? It's a way to bring joy into every interaction. It's a way to bless others. Just like a frown can kind of ruin your day sometimes, a smile can be a great thing for your day. Now, I spoke about this book a while ago, but I'll do it again because it's a good example. The book is called Under the Overpass. It's written by a college student from Westmont. His name's Mike Yankowski. He and another student decided they would go out and live on the streets to see if their faith was really real when they didn't have the comforts of their middle-class lifestyle. So they did this for 5 months. They don't recommend it, so I'm not recommending you do that, but they don't recommend it either. But they wanted to do this, so they did this for 5 months, and they began in Denver at a rescue mission so that they could slowly, you know, get into the street life. And the author, Mike Yankowski, says this. He tells this short story. "I walked over to get the tray off a table in front of another man. He was haggard but had a kind face. When he caught me smiling at him, he sat up straight and said, A smile is such an easy thing to give away, don't you think? A goofy grin spread across his face, showing some remains of his dinner and proving he didn't own a single tooth. I couldn't help laughing. "You've given away quite a few, haven't you?" I said. "That I have, son," he said with a wink. "That I have." Simple thing. It's an easy way to bless others with our bodies. So, four resources that we all have: time, treasures, talents, and temple. We've moved through them pretty quickly, but as followers of Jesus, we are invited into a lifestyle of generosity in all areas of life. But sometimes we can have blind spots. Sometimes we can deceive ourselves. And I've given you a few checks this morning, but I'm just going to end with, there's five questions that I'm going to end with here, and they're in your worship guide there. They're deeper reflection questions, things to go off and think about. So let me go through these. Number one, what is it that gives me hope as I look to the future? What is it that gives me hope as I look to the future? If the answer is anything but God, then you have potentially found an earthly treasure that you're hanging on to. Now, I say potentially because maybe not, but maybe so. Number two, what is my greatest delight? Where do I find my greatest joy? If the answer is not Jesus, then once again, you've potentially found something that you are grabbing onto that could keep you from having a generous heart. Number three, what do I fear? What do I fear? Follow that fear. Our fears usually lead us to an unhealthy attachment with something. For example, if I fear criticism, and I fear criticism so much that I will lie to save face, then my idol is reputation. Right? My idol is reputation, which then becomes more important than seeking God's kingdom priorities and purposes. Where do I resist God's word? If I'm resisting God's word somewhere, it usually means I'm tethered to some earthly treasure. And what am I anxious about? What do I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about? I can't get back to sleep. What am I anxious about? Anxiety is typically rooted in the decisions and choices we make about earthly treasures. Freedom from anxiety comes when we use our resources generously for His kingdom purposes. So just a few questions to think about that might help you go deeper and think through, what does it mean for me to live with a generous heart? Let me close with this. In 1922, Rhea Miller wrote a poem called "I'd Rather Have Jesus." It was later set to music. You might know the hymn. I think they might sing it tonight at the hymn sing. May this be our prayer and our desire as we walk through our days. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name. Amen. Well, there'll be a prayer team up here to my right if you would like prayer this morning. And now as you go, may our good God, the giver of only good gifts, of which Jesus is the greatest, may he fill you with not only his joy and peace, but also with his goodness and his generosity, so that you will overflow with blessings to others through the power of the Holy Spirit. Have a great week.